الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, I have recited before you a short surah which perhaps all of us have learned in infancy, in our childhood, in our early days in maktab, in madrasa. We have learned this surah. It is a surah which is also known as Surah At-Tawheed, because in the surah the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been expounded, has been explained. Also known as Suratul Ikhlas. Also known as Suratul Mani'. Because tamna'u min qurbatil qabr wa nafahatil niran. Because the surah prevents from the punishments of the qabr, and it also prevents from the fires of Jahannam. It protects a person from the fires of Jahannam. This is a very short surah, but the meaning of which is very, very vast, very great. The virtues of it is very great also. One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love this surah. And this sahabi used to recite it very often in his salah as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, the love that you have for the surah will grant you your entrance into Jannah. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by, and he heard one sahabi making dua. And the sahabi was making dua like this, and he was saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi anni ashhadu annaka anta Allah, la ilaha illa anta al-ahad as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the oath of that being in whose hand is my life, you have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such words which contain the Ismul Azam, which contains that powerful name of Allah, by virtue of which all du'as are accepted. And no matter what you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to you. It is reported with regard to the revelation of the surah, that some of the kuffar of Makkah, some of the mushrikeen, they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Unsub lana rabbak. That give us, explain to us the genealogy of your Lord. The Arabs in those days were masters in genealogy. They could go maybe 10, 20, up to 30 or maybe more generations up, knowing their family trees. Unfortunately today we don't know our family trees. We don't have no inclination toward genealogy. You go to a youngster and ask him, what is your grandfather's name? He said, Dada. He doesn't know what's his grandfather's name. We have no inclination towards genealogy. But in Arabs in those days, even today, up to today, they are very, very particular about the genealogy. They are even particular about the genealogy and the lineage of the horses also and the camels also. But we don't even know our own family trees because we have broken away so much from our families. Nevertheless, they come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they want to know the genealogy and the lineage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration, it has been reported that a person by the name of Amir and another person by the name of Irbad, they came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَى مَا تَدْعُونَ. What are you inviting us towards, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, simple answer, he said, إِلَى اللَّهِ. I am inviting you towards Allah. So they said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, صِفْهُ لَنَا. أَمِنْ ذَهَبْ هُوَ أَمْ مِنْ فِدَّةٍ أَوْ مِنْ خَشَبٍ أَوْ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. You explain to us or describe him to us. Is he made of gold? Is he made of silver? Is he something made of wood or iron? They were being a bit sarcastic also. You see? And when a person becomes sarcastic in wanting to know deen, or becomes very like, you know, mocking in his attitude, then Allah deprives him of hidayat also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reply to that question of theirs, Allah reveals Surah Ikhlas. But at the same time, because of their attitude and their sarcasm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. Irbad was hit with a lightning, and Amir was killed with a plague, with a disease which overtook him, and eventually he perished. And you find in the society today also many a times, a gathering is there, one poor molisap is there, and all of a sudden one person starts a controversy. There's no intention for learning, you see. There's no intention to learn. All of a sudden they start, the masla on prawns will start, this masla will start, that masla will start, and all only to start a controversy. No intention of learning, no intention of rectification or hidayat. Likewise, these two persons came, they wanted to know something, they should have asked in a more respectful manner, they should have asked properly, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have guided them and granted them hidayat. Nevertheless, commentators of the Quran say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah, He is one. That Allah, He is wajibul wujud. That there has to be a creator to this entire universe. It is impossible that this entire universe came into existence without a creator. And that creator is Allah. And they wanted to know the genealogy of Allah, then say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He Allah is one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Arabic, the word wahid also is for one, is for the numerical one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Allah is wahid. Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, He Allah is one, meaning He Allah is alone. There is no partners to Him. He has no father, he has no mother, he has no children. Allah is alone. The word ahad means alone. Wahid or one is divisible. You can divide it into half, into quarter, 1/8, 1/6. But Allah is not divisible. Allah is one, He is alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need a family. Allah doesn't need father, mother, brother, sister. Allah doesn't need all those things. Allah created the entire system of the dunya, and Allah created the entire system of mother, father, brother, etc. for our benefit. So that we may benefit in the world, we may have a beautiful and a comfortable life on the surface of the earth. But He Allah, He is one. He is alone. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need any assistance. Allah is the one that provides for everything. Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard. أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدْ. That Allah is the one that created everything, the heavens, the skies, etc. He doesn't need any children, is it? Allahu samad. At the same time, Allah is independent. Sometimes a person is living on his own, you know, in the dunya, our mind goes to it, that a person is living all by his own. Who is seeing to his needs, you know? He must be battling, the poor fellow, you know, staying all by his own and that. So this thought that Allah is alone, then who is there to assist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, Allahu samad. Allah doesn't need anybody. Allah needs no assistance. He is completely independent, whilst the entire creation is dependent on Allah. Normally you open the English translation, for the word samad, the translation is Allah is independent. But there is a more detailed explanation to the word samad. Because I can go up to a person and tell him, I don't need you. He can turn around and say, I don't need you too. I am independent of you as well. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't need any of His creation, but the entire creation, every atom on the surface of this earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the human beings, the animals, every creature is completely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word Samad means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent whilst the entire creation is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allahu Samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Normally English translation, He is not begotten nor does He beget. Many of us don't even understand what it means. Simple translation, Allah is no one's child, neither does He have any children. Allah is nobody's child, neither does He have any children. This answers the question of the mushrikeen and also answers the questions of the Christians as well. The Christians believe that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is son of God. The mushrikeen of Makkah used to believe that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And na'uzubillah. And the Jews say, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ. They say that Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Allah. So, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ answers all the questions. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no one's child, neither does He have any children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need that at all. The system of father, mother, children, brother, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the benefit of mankind. We cannot fathom or we cannot understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be like that of His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond our imagination. Like that one sahabi was making dua and he was saying, Ya man la tarahu al-uyun, wa la tukhalituhu al-dunun, wa la yasifuhu al-wasifun. That, oh, the one who no eye has ever seen. In this worldly life, we cannot see Allah. Yes, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the pious ones, the righteous ones, the fortunate ones, Allah will give them the opportunity to see Allah. But in this world, we cannot. Musa alayhi salatu salam had requested. Say, Rabbi arini anzur ilay. Qala lan tarani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salatu salam, you cannot see me. But Musa alayhi salatu salam persisted and he said, no, I want to see you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, walakin inzur ilal jabali. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِ. Okay, if you want to, then you look at the mountain. If the mountain remains where it is, then perhaps you may see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ وَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just placed a fraction of His tajalli. Commentators of the Quran say also a reflection of His tajalli upon the mountain. The mountain crushed, became like dust, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fell unconscious. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When he regained his consciousness, he said, Ya Allah, I seek your forgiveness for ever making such a request also. See. So with these eyes of this world, we cannot see Allah. He is beyond our eyes. At the same time, وَلَا تُخَالِتُهُ الذُّنُونَ. Allah is beyond our imagination also. There's no limit to your imagination. A person can be sitting here and imagine himself making tawaf of the Kaaba. Or a person can be sitting here and imagine himself in outer space. He can imagine weird things. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your imagination will also fail you. وَلَا يَصِفُهُ الْوَاصِفُونَ. And no person can truly praise Allah as He ought to be praised. See? So, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah is no one's child and neither has He any children. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no similarity. There's nothing equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Equal to Allah in any aspect. You cannot fathom or think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be like this or to be like that or to be like something which you have conjured up in your mind. You cannot think of Allah to be like that. There's no mithal. There is no similarity. There is no example like that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is unique. Allah is wahid. Allah is alone. See, there is no similarity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this answers all the questions. The benefit of mentioning this to the audience is twofold. One is, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qul. This was a hukam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that say. Say to who? In other words, give da'wat of this Surah Ikhlas. Give da'wat of Tawheed. Give da'wah towards the oneness, the wahdaniyat, and the greatness of Allah. And say it to entire mankind. The simple ways of giving da'wah to the entire mankind. Many a times we interact with non-Muslims, and we interact with Christians, with Jews, etc., whatever it is. You just have to explain to them Surah Ikhlas, and you have given them complete da'wah to Islam. In the word kul denotes the duty and the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The purpose of the risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was to pass on the message of the wahdaniyat and the oneness of Allah. And we being the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hukam falls on us as well. That we must take this surah, the message which is contained in the surah, and pass it to the entire world. Talk about the greatness of Allah, give da'wah towards the greatness of Allah. I always say that there's two ways in which we can invite very easily towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is inviting even the disbelievers, the non-Muslims. Many of us are very confused when it comes to talking about deen with the disbeliever. Very confused. If a person says, I want to know about Islam, we hold his hand, we bring him to the masjid and say, Molisab, this man is interested in Islam, speak to him. Why can't you talk to him about Islam? Simple way to talk to a person about Islam, understand Surah Ikhlas, explain to him Surah Ikhlas in the way that I have explained to you, and talk to the person about the azan. Even if you give him an explanation on the 5 times daily azan, which they are hearing every day in our country, they are hearing, that in itself is a da'wah to Islam. That in itself is a complete da'wah to Islam. What is the dua that we read after the azan? Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma. This is a complete da'wah towards Islam. If a person just explains, simple translation, basic explanation of the azan, we explain it to a disbeliever, you have given him full da'wah towards Islam. On the day of Qiyamah, he cannot catch you by your collar. So this is one message that we want to pass on today, that let us give da'wah towards the greatness of Allah, give da'wah to all. The other is this, that we should read the surah in abundance, because there is great virtue in the reading of the surah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that if you read the surah Ikhlas 10 times, Allah will build for you a palace in Jannah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you read it 20 times, you'll get two palaces in Jannah. If you read it 30 times, you'll get 3 palaces in Jannah. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then nukthir. We will read it greatly. We will read it in abundance. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the treasures of Allah are much more vast, much more greater. In one hadith, it comes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if a person enters his home, he makes salam, and thereafter he reads Surah Ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save that home from poverty. Many of us are concerned, you know, our financial position, etc., business is not good, etc. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, enter your home with salam, because that will bring barakat in the home, it will remove all the darkness, etc. in the homes, and Allah subhanahu, and by reading Surah Ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the poverty from the home. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ نُورًا, everything has a beauty, has a light with it. وَنُورُ الْقُرْآنِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. The nur of the Quran, the beauty of the Quran is contained in the Surah Ikhlas. A beautiful waqia and an incident has been mentioned in Ibn Kathir. That once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on an expedition, the expedition of Tabuk, 700 kilometers away from Medina. And one morning they find that the sun is, you know, rising in a very different way. Very beautiful, the rays of the sun were very beautiful, very strange compared to every other day. And Sahaba in those zamanas were very, very particular with regard to sunrise and sunset, etc. Today we don't even know when it rises, when it sets, we don't even see that. But in those days they used to take note of it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized or took note with the Sahaba how beautiful the sun had risen at that day. It was very strange, very beautiful. Just then Jibreel Amin comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel Amin that what is this? Today the sun has risen in a very, very beautiful way. The rays of the sun is very beautiful. So Jibreel Amin said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that just now Hazrat Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Layth radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has passed away. And if you want, I can make arrangements for you to perform the janazah salah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he has passed away in Adina. I am 700 k's away. How is it possible? Jibreel Amin struck his wing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused all the trees to move away, all the mountains to move away. And it was just like, you know, in this zamana, you get Google Maps, you know. You just press on that thing and you keep zooming and you come right to the building itself. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the complete power to do and the ability to do as He wants to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that the janaza of the sahabi came right in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janaza salam. There were two rows of angels behind him, 70,000 angels in each row, performing the janaza salah of the sahabi. The incident is quoted in Ibn Kathir. Brothers, one they can check it up. Then, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janaza salah. Thereafter, he asked Jibreel Amin, that what virtue or what good has this sahabi done that he deserves such honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel Amin said, it was because of the love that he had for the surah. Coming, going, sitting, standing, he used to continuously read the surah. As often as he could, ala kulli hal, in every condition of his, he used to recite this surah. Before he goes to sleep, when he gets up in the morning, while sitting, whilst moving on his conveyance. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored him and granted him this position. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once was met Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, that I got hold of the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I made salam first at this instance. And thereafter I said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bima najatul mu'minin. In what is the najat and the salvation of a believer? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that ahris lisanat. Guard your tongue. Be very particular as to what you say, who you speak to, how you speak to him. وَلْيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُ And let your home be spacious for you. You see, let your home be spacious for you. Be contented with your home. Don't be wanting to run out of your home all the time. As much as you can, stay within your home so that you fall less into fitna and into problems. Especially now the holiday season is coming. You'll find people, no matter how palatial home they have, what a big house or mansion they have, but it's always, you know, waiting to run out of the house. We can't stand any longer, too much pressure. You got the best of home, but you still want to run out. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, be contented. Let your home be okay, spacious for you. Be contented with your home. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَتِيَةِ And cry over your sins. Cry over your gunas and sins. That's another topic on its own. Then Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala says, I met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometime later again. And this time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam first. He got hold of my hand. And he said to me, should I not teach you three of the best surahs? I will teach you these three surahs. You should never forget them. And you should never go to sleep without reciting them. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him Surah Ikhlas, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala who says that since that day I have never forgotten to recite it and I never went to sleep without reciting these three surahs. Then he says once again I met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after some time. This time I rushed forward and I made salam first. And I got hold of the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that bi fawadilil a'mal, what is the cream of all a'mals? What is the cream of all actions? Just to complete the hadith. What is the cream of all actions? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sil man qata'ak. That join family ties. join the ties or relationship with those who want to break off with you. See? And wa'ti man haramak. The one who deprives you of your rights, you fulfill his rights. No matter what he does to you, you fulfill his rights. Wa'fu amman alamak. And if a person oppresses you, does something wrong to you, forgive him. Your salvation lies in that. That is the best of amals. You want to know what is the cream of all amals, then these are the amals. So from these ahadith we learn the beauty of the surah, Surah Ikhlas. Basically today we go home with the message that one is we will give dawah towards this Surah Ikhlas. The wahdaniyat, the oneness of Allah. Use this surah to explain to everyone and to give dawah towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other is that we read it in abundance as much as we can in every moment or whenever we have an opportunity, we recite this surah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any person who recites this surah, he has recited 1/3 of the Quran. So therefore you will find many a times during the janazas or when we hear that somebody has passed away, as a quick this thing, they will say that read Surah Ikhlas three times and send the reward to the deceased, because he will get the reward for the entire Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.